And from 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 15. The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in good works. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of God for the people of God. Friends, today I'm not sugarcoating anything. I'm just telling you, as I mentioned last week, today is Consecration Sunday. And that means today's message is a message about stewardship. And I know many of you are thinking, oh, here we go. This is where they ask us for money. And you're right. You're right. But the emphasis of stewardship or the Consecration Sunday is less about needing to give to the church because the church needs to pay its bills. But the emphasis is more on the need to give to God so that we can spiritually grow. Nowhere in the Bible is there a reference to giving to the church so it can pay its bills. What the Bible does say, though, is to give to God. Nothing says give to the church, but it says give to God. And through our giving to God, we achieve a sense of meaning. We can rejoice and joy, and our giving helps us to spiritually grow. But in order to lovingly and freely give, we need to understand the theology or the purpose of giving. And so I'd like to begin with the why. Why give? And I just want to begin by first saying, because God says so. Okay, in the Bible, the word believe is found 273 times. The word pray is found 371 times. The word love is found 741 times. But the word give is found 2,172 times. Throughout the Bible, God tells us to give. Exodus 25:2, give with a willing heart. Psalm 37:21, give generously. 2 Corinthians 8:1-4, give sacrificially. 2 Corinthians 9:7, give cheerfully. 1 Corinthians 16:2, give regularly. No, I'm not going to go through all 2,172. But in Luke 6:38, Jesus told us to give, and it will be given to you. You may be saying, okay, Pastor, I get it. I agree with you. We are to give. But how much, right? How much? Well, in Genesis 14:20, we're told that Abraham gave a tenth of all that he had to God. Now, this is the first time the word tithe is really used in Scripture. Later, when Jacob saw a ladder come down out of heaven, when it was over and he was back to himself, Jacob said he would give a tithe of all the income that he had to God. The word tithe means a tenth. But it's not until Deuteronomy 14:22 that we find the first command to tithe. God tells the Israelites to be sure to set aside a tenth of all your field's produce each year. And in Leviticus 27, God told them that every tenth animal in their herd was to be set aside for him. A tenth. God commanded them to tithe the tenth of all their land and all that their herds produced and give it to and present it to the temple to care for the priest, to care for the building, and for the needy. The giving was an acknowledgement that God was the provider of all things. Now, we don't sustain ourselves really off the land anymore. Even our farmers don't wholly and completely sustain themselves off of what they grow. Today, we trade our work for money. Thus, the money is a product of our labor. And according to these commands, we're required to give a tenth of that, of our earnings, because God has given us the ability and the opportunity to earn it. It is God who provides all things. Our giving to the church, like in the days of Israel, you know, it helps us to care for our staffing. It helps to care for this building, and it helps us to go out into the community and do ministry. So the first reason we should give is because we're told to. Another reason to give is so that we don't break the first commandment. Okay? In Exodus 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods but me." We all make one of two choices. We either become emotionally attached to our money or to the God who provides our money. Although we'd like to think we can do both, we can't. Jesus said, "You cannot serve two masters." And in Luke 12:34, Jesus also said, "Wherever your treasure is, that is where your heart is." So financial stewardship is treasure management that helps us escape the trap of selfishness by helping us to stay spiritually focused on God. And it helps us not to break that first commandment by putting our false god of money ahead of the one true God. But our giving goes way beyond the commands and the legalism of it all. Yes, God said to give a tenth of all we have to Him. And as obedient followers of God, this should be reason enough. But that's not God's main reason for telling us to give. It goes beyond the obedience. It goes beyond the protecting us from breaking the first commandment. God's command to give is out of love in order to help us to grow spiritually in our relationship with Him. And that is the emphasis of this consecration Sunday here. God said that we are to give a tenth of what we take in and give it to the Lord our God. And that should be our goal when it comes to giving. But in Exodus 25, God said, "Bring me an offering. Receive it from each person whose heart prompts them to give." The idea here is, what is God prompting you to give? As we approach, or so as we come to the end of this service and we're here today, we must ask ourselves, we must pray and discern, what is God prompting me to give as a percentage of my income? That is a personal and spiritual question, and it will be answered in different ways by different people. Some will answer, "I feel God calling me to give 10% of my income to the Lord's work. I've been thinking about this for years, and I want to start on that spiritual journey this year." But others will respond by saying, "Well, you know, eventually I'd like to tithe, but I'm just not in a position to do that right now. But I do feel God is calling me to start somewhere. And so I'm going to begin at 4 or 6%. And then next year, I want to bump that up to 7 or 8%. And in 3 years, I want to have a goal of being at 10%. Yes, God wants us to give a tenth. But He understands our struggles. And giving to God is less about the amount given and more about the attitude in which it is given. In 2 Corinthians 8:12, Paul said, "If the willingness is there," meaning, "Yes, Lord, I truly want to give you 10%, but I have these needs and my family's needs, and I have these doubts. And if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one doesn't have." God understands our financial struggles, and that is why it's less about the amount and more about the desire. And so we must honestly, that's a key word there, we must honestly ask, what is God prompting us to give? It may be to start out with less than 10% with a goal of reaching 10%, but that prompting may be to give more than 10%. As I said earlier, some of you will decide to give 10%. Some not ready for that will start at a lower percentage. But some of you have been tithing for years, and God has blessed you, and 10% doesn't even come close to being a sacrifice for you. Perhaps God is prompting you to give more. In Deuteronomy 16:17, God also tells us that each of us must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord has blessed us. A gift in proportion to the way God has blessed us. Years ago, there was a man who was the manager of a corporation, and he was struggling to make ends meet. And he said that as hard as he tried, he just couldn't keep out of debt. And so one night he got down on his knees and he prayed, "Lord," he said, "if you will," he said, I promise to tithe to you." And then he said, "but if you will allow me to make this much, I'll give you 2/10. And then he said, "if you promise to give me this much, I'll give you 3/10. And the man said, and then he named a salary that he couldn't even imagine, but he said, "if somehow, for some reason, you bless me with this, I will tithe half of my income to you." And then the old man smiled, and with tears in his eyes, he said, "and for many years it has been my privilege to tithe half of my income to the Lord." Some of you have been faithfully tithing for years, but is God prompting you to give more? Is your giving in proportion to how God has blessed you? Now that's between you and God, okay? That's between you and God. As Paul says in our New Testament reading today, each person should give what they've decided in their heart to give, as the Spirit prompts them. And they should not do it reluctantly or out of under compulsion, but rather out of love for God and cheerfully, for God loves a cheerful giver. I want to share with you a story written by youth pastor John Cutchall. He says, "back when our grandparents were young and a bell tied to a door of a candy store jingled to announce your arrival, there in front of you, in glass bins, as far as the eye could see, were lemon drops and gumballs and red licorice twist, all there, all waiting for anyone who had a few nickels to spend. Of course, nickels were hard to come by back then, and some children had never owned a nickel. One of those poor ragamuffin children walked into the candy shop one cold afternoon. The child, whose name was Jim, dropped by now and then just to look, because looking was free. And for Jim, looking was even fun. He could tell you what was in every glass jar, every bin. He could tell you how the candy store smelled when the special Valentine boxes were displayed, and how the Christmas candies were always stacked just so, with cardboard cutouts of Santa and reindeer around them. Jim could tell you everything there was to know about candy, except how it tasted, because tasting took nickels, and Jim didn't have any nickels. Jim came in that chilly afternoon, dragged a ragged sleeve across his nose, nodded hello to the man behind the counter, and started looking. Jim wasn't alone in the store. An elderly man watched him, and he watched him hungrily eye the rock candy and the chocolate-covered peanuts. So the man started filling little bags with candy, a half scoop of this, a half scoop of that. Before long, he had a dozen little bags. He carried them to the counter to be weighed and priced. The total amount was almost a dollar, and Jim thought he must be looking at the richest man in the world. The storekeeper dropped all the bags in a large sack and slid them across the counter to the man. The man held the sack out to Jim. "Would you like some candy?" he asked. Jim couldn't believe it. "Me? Yeah, you. Would you like some candy?" "Well, yes, sir, I surely would." The man smiled and handed Jim the entire sack packed with every kind of candy imaginable. Here you go, it's all yours. You mean for keeps? For keeps. Jim couldn't move. All this, his. The man raised a finger, though. There's one thing. This is all yours, every last bit of it. But if it's all right with you, I'd like to have that one tiny bag on top. And the rest is all yours. Jim peered into the sack. The bag the man wanted was small. There wasn't much in it. That's all you want back? And the rest of the sack, this whole sack, is mine to keep? Asked Jim. That's right, just that one tiny bag. Jim looked at the sack of candy, then he looked at the man. He looked back at the sack of candy, and he turned around and ran out the door, and the man never saw him again. Not the ending you were thinking, was it? But you know, from God's perspective, we're often like Jim. We've been given so much, and yet we're greedy about returning a tiny portion back to him. For everything we have is from God. And when you think about it, a tenth, it's not that much to ask. After all, God provides with all that we should. He gives us everything, and so we should cheerfully and with glad hearts and thanksgiving give back to God this small portion of what he's given to us. And it's through giving that we grow. In our New Testament reading, Paul says that if we give cheerfully, willingly give with the right attitude, we will grow in grace. God's grace will abound in us. And when we give, God will enlarge the harvest of our righteousness. So when we give to God, we spiritually grow in grace. When we give to God, we spiritually grow in righteousness. And when we give to God, we grow in faith. We go out and work 5 to 7 days a week in order to pay our bills and provide for our families. And we give a portion of that back to God. When we do that, we're saying, God, I trust you to provide for us. Whatever I was going to spend this money on, I trust that you will provide. And when we can say that, when we can trust God with that, our faith is growing. Folks, tithing can be a tough thing to begin, and I know it. Jody and I struggled with it for a long time, for years, even while friends encouraged us. And our answer was always the same. Well, you don't understand our situation. We know what money we're bringing in, and we know what money's going out, and right now we just can't do it. We felt God calling us to give, and we knew we needed to, but we just couldn't go to the tithe. And so we chose option two, and we said, we'll tithe 6%, and we did for many, many years. But when I started seminary, God convicted me. And I said, you know, someday I'm going to have to preach on this, and I can't do it if we're not doing it. And so we might as well start right now, and we did. Now, I'm not going to tell you that we didn't struggle, because we did. I'm not going to tell you we didn't have wants, because we did. And I'm not even going to tell you we didn't have needs, because we did. But what I will tell you is that every time we had a need, God provided. And he did it in miraculous ways. I want to tell you one of those ways. When I went to seminary, we moved the whole family to where the seminary was. And I went from a full-time job with relatively no debt to a part-time job with tuition and books and such. And things were tight. And about 9 months in, something happened to the car. And then one of the kids got sick. And we couldn't pay our bills. We needed $800. And Jody and I, we prayed together about this, and in 3 days, a letter arrived at the house. And the letter was from a Sunday school class that I once was the youth pastor at that church for. And they said, we were sitting around talking about you, and we took up a collection because we thought you might need this. And the check was written out for $800. And right there, my faith in God grew. Folks, I could tell you many other stories of how God has provided for us and blessed us for being faithful. And every time you trust God to meet your needs, your faith is going to grow. And that's what Consecration Sunday is really about. It's not about the church's need to pay its bill. It's about our need to trust God to provide for us. It's about our need to acknowledge that God has given us all things. And when we give, that's what we're doing. We're saying, we trust you, God. And when we trust God to provide for us, even when times are tough, especially when times are tough, we will grow in grace, righteousness, and faith. We give in order that we may grow. And we want to grow in order that we may give some more. Your giving to God is a personal and spiritual choice between you and God. We will not confront you or hold you accountable for anything. However, in order to plan for the future and to vision for the future and stuff, we in order to budget, we need to have some kind of an idea of how this body is willingness to give. And so what we're going to be doing here in the next few minutes is asking you, you have a commitment card there. And if you are a guest with us today, whatever you give to us today, that is just a blessing to us and we thank you. But if you're a member here, the commitment cards are there for you. And we'll be asking you, you know, to make a commitment. Your commitment will not be made public unless you choose to release that and reveal it. We will not be calling you and saying, hey, you said that you would give this much and you're not. If you choose not to participate in the card, we're not going to be calling you up and saying, why didn't you? Your giving is between you and God, but it helps us in order to order the church and make plans for the future. And so, as we sing our closing hymn here, if you will fill those out, and if you are prompted, you can bring your cards up and put them here in these boxes, or when the service is over, just come up and put them in the boxes. But take just a moment here, right now, we're gonna in silence, and just pray about it. What is God prompting you to give?